So I want to talk a little bit about some of the small B-cell molecules that are so exciting, and particularly in CLL. And maybe you can just begin by providing a little bit of an overview of what we know about ibrutinib in CLL, what we know about alpelisib in CLL, and of course the other agent that there's so much interest is ABT-199.
Right. So ibrutinib, of course, is an inhibitor of Bruton's tyrosine kinase, which is an excellent target in CLL because we know that if it's mutated, you lose B cells, and that served as very good justification for the development of the drug. It's a covalent inhibitor, and so it can be dosed once daily with complete target inhibition sustained over time, which is very nice clinically. The trial that led to its initial accelerated approval was a phase 1b/2 study in. It had multiple arms, but the initial approval was for relapsed refractory CLL, 85 patients. Now, with both ibrutinib and alpelisib and all the inhibitors of the B-cell receptor pathway, people are probably very familiar now, but we see an unusual pattern of response when you start the drug, that patients feel better immediately, their lymph nodes shrink, but the white count will go up. And this is believed to be a redistribution phenomenon from cells that are in lymph node and bone marrow into peripheral blood. But the white count can go up 5, 6, 8-fold sometimes, very high, before stabilizing around month 1 to 2 and then coming down at some rate. And so response rate had to be thought about in a somewhat different way with these drugs. And so we have partial responses defined by traditional criteria, and then we have partial responses with lymphocytosis, where patients meet all criteria for a typical partial response, except that the lymphocyte count is still elevated above the 50% reduction that would be required for a classic partial response. And so the response rate in the initial report was on the order of 70%, but we now know that response rate is on the order of 90% for ibrutinib, even in relapsed refractory CLL, including these partial response with lymphocytosis patients who have a similar outcome to those with a full partial response. And what's most impressive is that in patients with a median of 4 prior regimens, the median progression-free survival in the overall cohort hasn't been reached at a follow-up of 30 months. And in fact, 89% of patients are still in remission at that point. Now, the 17 P-deleted patients had a median progression-free survival of 28 months. And the 11Q patients, approximately 70%, were still in remission at the 30-month follow-up. And so those data for that heavily pretreated population were fairly unprecedented, led to accelerated approval. We had the randomized confirmatory trial of ibrutinib versus ofatumumab, which showed progression-free and overall survival benefits. Follow-up is still short, so it doesn't inform us as much about expected durability of response.
And right now, in what situations are you using ibrutinib in CLL?
So in more or less any relapsed refractory patient, potentially, except one who has a contraindication. The primary contraindication in my mind is patients who are on anticoagulation or have some other bleeding diathesis. We see very commonly that patients on ibrutinib have easy bruisability, delayed wound healing, and this is at least in part due to the fact that BTK is required for platelet aggregation to collagen. It may relate to ibrutinib's effect on other kinases as well. It's not completely understood, but that is one factor involved. And then patients with 17p deletions, certainly ibrutinib is the most active agent that we have, and that includes in the upfront setting. And it did receive an FDA approval for upfront 17p CLL as well as for relapsed 17p CLL.
Just to pick up a little bit on a couple of those points, what do you do when you have patients who are on ibrutinib and need some kind of procedure, surgical procedure, dental procedure?
So for any major procedure which was defined in the trials as requiring stitches, you hold the drug 7 days before and restart 7 days after. For minor procedures not requiring stitches, 3 days before, 3 days after.